Welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, August 14th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya. And joining me today is my remarkable twin brother, John Abaya.
Hello, everyone.
How are you, John?
I am fine, Ben. How are you?
Why do you sound like a robot?
Because I am a robot, and I am, I forgot his name in DuckTales. It's the robot, the turnbuckle. Oh God, I forgot to all his names.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about actually, but he's not in the new series yet.
He's not in the new series yet. But maybe someday he'll Launchpad McQuack. Well, no, Launchpad becomes
his,
that's his
actual name.
Yeah.
You meant his like alter ego.
Mm, you know, Launchpad can fly a plane, right? Just to let you know.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is the new television series from Disney's XD. John, do you know what XD stands for?
Extreme Disney, I think. I'm not sure.
No, it's actually Disney's Extreme Digital.
Oh, really? And it also makes that like emoji face, like someone's laughing. I think they did that purposely.
Or excited?
Is that excited? Oh yeah, I guess.
I think so. Yeah. Anyway, it's from Disney XD and returning in our lives, the new Disney's DuckTales. So we're looking forward to that. It was just relaunched this week. Mm-hmm. Before all of that, though, we do have a trailer talk. This week's trailer is UFO 50. That is a clip from the trailer UFO 50. It is a video game published and developed by Mossmouth. UFO 50 is a collaboration of five indie video game developers, most notably Derek Yu, who is the creator of Spelunky. John, are you a fan of Spelunky?
I'm a fan of people playing and watching Spelunky. I played it a little bit, like maybe about 30 minutes, and thought the game was fun. But it's that type of game where you have to keep playing and playing until, you're very used to, because they don't really say what a lot of the objects or what's happening in the game. It's like it's a little bit of like a throwback to the old, Super NES type of games where there's no, like, you just find out. You just go in and trying to figure out what's the game about. And I liked it, but it never really stuck with me.
Same here. I have not played the game, but I love watching people playing it. Anyway, so the other developers on the UFO 50 is Paul Hubans, John Perry, Ojiro Fumoto, and composer Eric Siriki. I'm sorry that I'm pronouncing half of those names incorrectly. It is simply a video game consists of 50 smaller video games in the retro theme style of a 8-bit generation. And according to the website, which is 50games.fun, explore a variety of genres from platformers and shoot 'em ups to puzzle games and RPGs. Our goal is to combine a familiar 8-bit aesthetic with new ideas and modern game sensibilities. There is no price or date yet. But the game is expected to hit PC, I believe, first, and then other platformers like the Xbox One, PS4, and Nintendo Switch, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Anyway, this is one of the most incredible video game trailers I've seen so far, or unique. Mm-hmm. John, what's your thoughts of UFO 50?
I really like the aesthetic of how it looks right now. It looks like that old era of 8-bit gaming. I read like a article where the creators said that each game color palette is the same. Like they're not, you know, diverging from a different era of 8-bit. They agreed to like stay in the same color or same aesthetics. Like if this all came from one little cartridge back in the day, this is, you know, this is it. They're not trying to make like different designs or anything like that. So that was cool. Even when you saw like the game, it shows like a whole bunch of mini games. It looked like they said each game is like 2 hours long. Thing like it's a complete story. It's not like just these little mini games that you just play right away. And to complete all 50 will take about 100 hours. I was like, oh, that's incredible. Just to see that. But yeah, I'm just loving how everything looks. Like it does have that classic feel to it, but in the new way. And if this is how like games can come out, but, you know, these 50 games, I like this type of format. I'm really into it. Like it's just a quick, you know, pick your thing. But I'm wondering how the game will be played. Is it more like a roulette style of gaming where right away goes to one game to the next, or there's like actually story that carries from a character or object that tells this, you know, overall story? And if that is, that's one of the best ideas I've seen in video game, and I'm really like just looking forward to that this game coming out.
Yeah, I'm on the same boat as you. I believe this is like a really great looking trailer, especially for those who are into like 8-bit video games. Like I'm a sucker to those, and I always try to play those type of games just because, not only nostalgia reasons, just because I really like that style, and it's a little bit more appealing to me than like the whole realistic looking video games. I don't have nothing against them. Like I like games like the new Resident Evil Biohazard, and like, you know, games like Grand Theft Auto, and where they are trying to reach that whole cinematic looking feel, mm-hmm. of like a real film. But I like just, you know, fun and 8-bit. I think because we played the Super NES so much that is what I consider like great looking games. Mm-hmm. And so when I see developers, especially like indie developers, trying to mimic that type of style, I'm really glad to see that. Mm-hmm. And this is like a really good concept for a video game. Like I don't think no one has ever approached it this way, and just having
I think no one has ever approached it with these type of developer, because these are really well known
indie video game developers.
Yes, I think there's a lot of indie people probably doing it. I've seen like a lot, but this is very like it's five of the most like indie people, not indie, but indie in the way like, yeah, they don't make big, huge games, but they got the five designers of very, you know, well-known indie games to make this. And it's kind of cool, like just to see that.
And just like the magnitude of how they could accomplish this with five developers working together, yeah, to bring out a product that could satisfy all types of video gamers or people who are just enthusiasts, mm-hmm. with video games.
And then, yeah, I really hope like if they carry the aesthetic to more 16-bit, more of the Super NES, because this one looks more like the Nintendo, like just the regular Nintendo.
Or Game Boy.
Yeah, but we never really... We had a Nintendo, but we barely played. We mostly played what? Mario,
Ghostbusters. The Duck Hunt,
yeah, Ghostbusters, and that's... Oh, and that weird Ninja Turtle game.
There was a... Sesame Street game,
yeah,
too.
With the pipes or something like that.
Yeah.
There's like that, but we are. I hope if they do, like, do another UFO 50 whatever 2. They gradually go more to the 16-bit, and you know, maybe they're like sequels of this game. But I'm thinking too far ahead right now. But yeah,
and this game is still a mystery to many of us. Like we don't know exactly what this game is, like storyline.
Yes.
We don't even know what the title even means, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But speaking of video games, John, you also played a video game this week. What did you play?
Yes, I played a game that I bought on the Humble Bundle a while ago, probably 2 years ago. And I bought this like huge Humble package. I forget how much I paid for, but it had a whole bunch of games, maybe a dozen or more games. And I just played one game, what you call it, this over the weekend, because it was just sitting there in my library, so I wanted to try something out. I never played this game before. I never had a Neo Geo, so I don't know anything about their title. Oh, so the thing was the SNK Neo Geo Humble Bundle, basically. And the game I played over the weekend is called Shock Troopers. And that was a little clip of one of their songs in the game called New Era of Technology. And let me start off by saying that the music in this game is great. It's one of the most, like, how do you say, like, it's unbelievable how the sound of this game was developed back in the day, because it rivals of, like, soundtracks today. I don't know anything about how... If the soundtrack is beloved or anything, but I really enjoyed it. It's very almost techno-ish of the in the 90s. So the game was created in the 90s. It's a more of a run and gun arcade style game where the camera is top down slightly, like you can see the side of you, and you basically are a troop that goes inside this dangerous jungle area to stop a organization from controlling this I believe a chemical or something. It was hard to understand at first, but they also, the organization kidnapped a daughter of a scientist or something like that. And yeah, you're a bunch of a group called the Shock Troopers. You can play up to three players, or it's a two-player game, but you can have a team of three players if you want. I played this single player, but I had a team of three people, so I could among the what you call that, the way the style of it is, like, you pick three players on the team, and each one is a different character. Off the head, I don't know any of the characters' names. Sorry for that, but yeah, each character had, like, a different trait. One had, like, a missile. One had a special weapon in their arsenal, because you get special weapons, and you can get guns in the game when you kill enemies. And you basically, it almost feels like those shooters, space shooters. You get more, the better the gun, the better the firing distance. I don't know how to the terms of how you say this in this type of game, but yeah, it's one of the first games I never played, or one of the first style of this type of game I never played before. Most of the time I play it like I said in a airplane mode or space mode, where you're like a little ship. This is the first time I've seen with people. It almost has that in a weird way where there's a whole bunch of hectic stuff going on the screen, and you have to, like, figure out which direction to shoot out. So, like, the button control is like a roll to dodge the projectiles or bullets, whatever the people shoot, and there's a melee cat attack if you get near people, and it's very brutal to the point where you cut the stomach open and guts fall out. Yeah, this is a very R-rated type of game. I was very surprised how much blood and gruesome the killings are, even though they're like little sprites on the screen. It's very like, oh wow, and whatnot. Like I said, it was developed, it was developed by Saras, that's how I'm saying it, and published by SNK. And yeah, it's just a really fun shooter. I dived in over the weekend just to, you know, play. It took me like 35 minutes to finish the game, and that was only one story. There's like different paths you can take in the game too, and I choose the jungle part of the story, so that was fun. I love how every area is different. Like, you get to go on a huge truck, and you're fighting on top of the truck, and enemies can, you know, parachute down and stuff like that. there's like ninjas with smoke grenades and stuff like that. Just everything looks really nice. It also reminds me of like the Ninja Turtle beat 'em up type of style game. But yeah, it just with different camera angles, a different point of views, just makes it look great and everything. But yeah, the sprite work looks great too. Every tech character design and the sound effects. I was really amazed of how well 1997 game. Played it like this. I don't remember which system this originally came out. I'm assuming
the Neo Geo.
I guess it's a Neo Geo, but
it is a Neo Geo.
Okay,
game.
Yeah, Neo Geo. Okay, yeah. I'm on. Okay, it is. Yeah, Neo Geo. Sorry, I even said that in the beginning. Sorry.
Yeah, you did.
But yeah, it's a fun little game. There's a second game I have of this, Shock Troopers Second Squad. And I didn't dive in, but I just looked at I had the game and I looked at the screenshots, and that's more like a chibi type of look of the characters. And this one was more, I say a more realistic version of how all the characters, not realistic, but I like this style of art versus the new one, but whatever. Check it out. It's called Shock Troopers if you can. I think it's on Steam right now for like $5 or something like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at screenshots and videos. It looks really cool. Like, I didn't realize this was a game. And it's very detailed.
Like, yes, that's what I like about it. The explosions in the game looks really nice. It's like when not since Game of Thrones last episode that people on fire look so gruesome.
Okay.
Yeah, that's I had a fire thing gun and just like demolished a whole squad with it. And I was like, man, this is really bad. The animation is literally them going on the ground on fire and turn into ashes. I was like, oh wow. Okay.
Huh. It looks like there's a in some of the screenshots I'm looking at, there was like a motorcycle sequence.
You're riding it, but you don't really control it. There's a lot of not a lot, but there are little cutscenes here and there in the game that your character arriving to the scene basically.
And this, you said this is two players?
Yes, it's a two-player game. I don't know, in two-player game, can you have a team game? Like I said, you can play a single person or you can pick a team of three people. And I believe probably in second player you can do the same. But it's kind of fun just switching off to different characters in the game. I mostly use the women in the game because they were much faster than most of the men for some reason. Their special weapon was better. They have missiles, and this one woman had a like grenade that almost like if the enemies were lined up, you just throw it at them and then destroy the whole line and stuff like that.
Interesting. I might want to play this now. Mm-hmm. And how long did it take you to beat it?
I said 35 minutes, I believe. Like 30,
oh wow, 30, okay.
Yeah, it's a really short game. You can just, that's only one story, like one path you could take. There's three different paths. So if you want to do everything, and each, I finished the game with the three women in my team. And there's like a little scene, a cut scene of showing them what happened to them. Like just a really fast image of each one of them. So I believe like if you play with any other, team of people, they will show their little cutscenes. I don't know if I can verify that, but that it seems like that's what's happening. So you can play this in different ways with different characters just to see the little cutscene image, I guess, or the prologue, or it's called prologue of their story.
Interesting. So that is, I forgot what the name of the title.
Shock Troopers.
Shock Troopers. Mm-hmm. For any PC,
yeah,
right?
It's anything right now. It's out even on the Wii. It came out. So
cool. Moving on from that. So I watched something equally gruesome, probably. Not really. Anyway, I watched something on Netflix, and the film is titled The Transfiguration.
There's someone doing a whole lot worse.
Why are you avoiding me?
So that is a clip from the trailer of The Transfiguration, written and directed by Michael O'Shea, starring Eric Ruffin, Chloe Levine, and Aaron Clifton Moten. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. Here is the plot synopsis from IMDb. When troubled teen Milo, who has a fascination with vampire lore, meets the equally alienated Sophie, the two form a bond that begins to blur Milo's fantasies into reality. So this is a film that was, I think, last year was in the film festival circuit, and I think it had some mixed reviews and some praises here and there. This is the reason I watched it, because I read the synopsis and I read a fascinating and insightful review from Richard Newby from Audience Everywhere. He's a friend of the podcast. If the listeners remember him. And then when I read that review, it wasn't a spoiling review. I think I read like the first couple of paragraphs and I started watching it, and then I finished the review because I think it got a little bit spoily, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a vampire film. But from the perspective of a young black teenager trying to live through like his inner demons and the outer demons,
mm-hmm.
and the demons that may like manifest within him. It's remarkable. It's unique. It's an incredible film experience that at many times can be very hesitant in the way of the dialogue and the actions, or downright distressing of like how brutal the killings are. But there's an uncertainty that is lingering, which makes it suspenseful throughout the film. I think because the performance that was captured by like Eric Ruffin is like compelling, because he plays it so natural. You believe he's partially a vampire, and the things he's obsessed about the vampire lore is so believable that you get frightened a little bit, like about his addiction to vampire lore, especially the horror aspect. That it's both smart and thought provoking when it comes to the horror aspect. And yeah, I don't want to spoil a lot, but if you're fans of like The Left, The Right One In, or Thirst,
mm-hmm.
I highly recommend. It takes the vampire genre, or the Dracula genre, whatever you always want to call it, and just putting it in a different perspective. And it's a perspective we don't see. It's set in New York City. It's a young black teenager, and it's modern.
Was it set in Brooklyn?
I'm not entirely sure. Okay. Where was it set up?
Isn't that Eddie Murphy movie set in Brooklyn? No.
It is.
Brooklyn Vampire or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I forget. Now I'm just completely forgetting what that title was. But yeah, I highly recommend it. It's on Netflix right now. What's weird about this is that the title of the film is called The Transfiguration, which is like a word that's usually brought up in like religious sense or biblical sense. Like it means like the complete change or an appearance that into something like more beautiful or spiritual state. Hmm. So it's weird because he's this human that's trying to change into a vampire, which is more frightening, and I don't know if people would think beautiful. There's a bit of comedy.
I was taught here too. No, right.
Yeah,
I was taught over the years that, you know, vampires are beautiful, like Edward Ben. So
that's funny you said that, because there is a little joke here, because he's obsessed with vampires.
Mm-hmm. You mean that's not canon, but that is a known thing in the movie, that the Twilight series. Okay,
yeah, the Twilight series, because the girl that he meets, Sophie, is a fan of the Twilight
series. Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes me want to watch the movie more.
Yeah. So that's like the bit of the comedy throughout. But if you're, it's a very, like, you have to be in the mood to watch it, mm-hmm. type of film.
And would you put this in line, like, a good double feature is with, The Lost Boys, or no? Or more, it's more Let the Right One In.
More like Left the Right One. But I think it would be a good double feature if you see like an 80s version of what they thought about vampires, mm-hmm. and then you have this more realistic 90s version. Like everything's in canon. Like all the films he's watching are films that we've all watched. And
what do you mean it's like canon? Like Oh, you mean the movies. It's similar to like zombie. If a movie makes a zombie, movies about zombies, Night of the Living Dead will be part of that lore.
Yeah. Like Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, it's a known lore about these things.
Yeah. That's cool. A little shout outs here and there. There is a, like when I said thought provoking and smart, there is something deeply, deeply, I guess, insightful in here. And I don't want to spoil it. I say watch the film and read Richard Newby's piece on Audience Everywhere. I feel like you get the full experience from there.
Cool.
So moving on, this is our main discussion. This week's main discussion is a returning television series on the telly, I guess. So anyway, this is main discussion is Disney's DuckTales. So that is a clip from the trailer of Disney's DuckTales. Here, once again, is the synopsis from IMDb. The comedy venture series chronicles the high-flying adventures of trillionaire Scrooge McDuck, his grandnephews Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and the temperamental nephew Donald Duck, Launchpad McQuack, Mrs. Beakley, and her granddaughter Webby. Based on the characters from Carl Banks and Jim Magoon, who created the original series and comic books, this new revival is created by Matt Youngberg and Francisco Ngons. Ngons, I think how you pronounce it. It's starring David Tennant, Danny Pudi, Ben Schwartz, Bobby Monahan. Yeah, Monahan. Kate Micucci, Beck Bennett, Tonks, Alagundoy, and Tony Anselmo. I believe I have half of those names correctly, and I apologize to all those actors. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful and great cast. It's one of the best-looking casts for an animated series I've ever seen. do you say so, John?
Too? Yes, it is a cast that if you're not into like comedy or Doctor Who, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a really great cast of all these comedians and the Doctor basically making this really cool show or revival of a great show.
Yes. So John, you're the one that suggested this as the main discussion. And I believe because we both watched this television show when we were younger. I remember coming home after school and turning on the television, or when it came to reruns, sometimes in the middle. I feel like it's Saturday mornings, but I don't know. I think it was really after school, huh?
Yeah, I feel like, we didn't watch this before school because we watched anime mostly before school.
Before school.
And then,
But a couple of questions. Did you watch this with your kids? What did your kids thought of it, and what's your thoughts about the new revival?
So I did watch this with my kids, and they really loved it. They really enjoyed it. They did not know this was a Disney film or a Disney thing. When we were watching it, all of a sudden they say, "Hey, there's that duck from Disney or Mickey Mouse or whatever," and they're talking about Donald Duck. I was like, "Oh yeah, that's Donald Duck. He's related to Scrooge." And so I didn't know that. Adaptation, the Donald Duck still sounds like Donald Duck. Like, that's the only voice that seemed like the thing that didn't really change for people, because that's a iconic voice of a duck in here. So I was a fan of the series when I was younger, and I enjoyed it. It's a cartoon that I have like really vague memories of, not because I didn't enjoy it, but it just, there's so much stuff to remember. It's a cartoon that I know it was related to Darkwing Duck. I enjoyed that a lot. And then also we watched Tailspin too. Like those are like the block of this cartoon that came out during that time. So a lot of the things that happened in the show and the reboot really surprised me. I really enjoyed the voice actors of everyone in here. They did a great job. I know there's like a weird thing that people are angry about, like all the Huey, Louie, and Dewey sound too grown up or too like a teenager. I have no problem with that. I think I'm so like used to their voice, especially Bobby Monahan, but he does a voice on Weeby Bears, a Cartoon Network show, and he it sounds a little bit different from the character he plays there, but it's almost exactly like you can tell that's Bobby right away when he starts talking. It was hard for me to tell who was Danny Pudi and Ben Schwartz, especially Ben Schwartz. He does not sound like Ben Schwartz, the comedian.
He does not.
Yes, yeah. It was hard for me to understand. Like all the people,
even here, Danny Pudi. It didn't sound like him because you're so used to his mannerisms and Community.
Mm-hmm. And then he just sounds so different. So that's, I would say like Bobby has the same mannerisms and Weeby Bears in this one.
Even Kate Micucci, like her voice is like unrecognizable because she also has certain cadences to her voices when you see her live.
Mm-hmm. She sounds so excited in this role. Her character in here. And I love how her Webby, is this her name, right? It's just very adventurous and it doesn't play the, like, I thought they'll play her up like, oh, she's a girl, so she doesn't want to go to venture. But they play it more like she's homeschooled or is she the mom or what was she again?
The grandmother.
The grandmother keeps her in. So she's all, this whole episode feels like, don't be a protective parent. Let your kids venture out. And I agree that 100%. Like that's a good lesson here.
Go on.
I enjoyed the cold open or whatever we call that in this show.
Yes. Yeah.
Beginning.
Before the actual introduction to the famous theme song.
Mm-hmm. So
re-recorded by performer Felicia Barton.
Mm-hmm.
But the original, was it?
Oh no, it's the same composer though. Mark Muller is the same person who's still composing the song. So I thought that was nice, little touch to it. And they didn't change anything to the song. It's literally just more today's version of the song. The lyrics are exactly the same. They didn't change anything.
The melody didn't really change too. Like it's the same melody. It's just when we say modern version of the song, it's literally just probably just recorded with the same instruments.
Yeah, yeah.
But just a different voice and everything.
And still titled Woohoo Hoo. And then that was nice. A little opening of the I don't remember if there was a first episode of the original DuckTales where they opened like this where Donald dropped off his nephews with his great grandpa or great uncle, and they have adventure. This feels like a cool natural story. It felt very organic the way it starts, and just all these little things they show in his little lair, Scrooge's little lair, quote unquote, was cool. And I'm assuming they're just foreshadowing all the adventures they'll be having throughout this little short season. I believe they only recorded like 5 episodes right now, so I don't know how many episodes will be aired throughout this year. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I have to say that ending of this episode 1 is a very cool cliffhanger that my jaw dropped. I was like, what? Like that. And it got me more excited to watch the second episode and just to see this adventure of this trillionaire. I did not know he was a trillionaire when you said that. I thought he was just a billionaire. But yeah, it makes a cool sense. And as I mentioned, David Tennant is my favorite Doctor. And he is now my favorite Scrooge McDuck guy, whatever. He's playing it really well. He actually shows his real Scottish accent. He's in Doctor Who. He had a British accent more. So this one is really nice to hear his natural voice. And he's playing it really well. I hope someday they probably make a video game based on this version. And that would be kind of cool if they do that. Overall, my kids enjoyed it. They really liked the nephews a lot. They mostly like, I think, the one who's wearing green. So that's not a gripe. I noticed that the characters are exactly the same as Alvin and the Chipmunks, where the red one wears a hat, The green one has like a hoodie and kind of like chubby, and the blue one is like the smart one in the group. I don't know if they did that intentionally or if that's like a thing that if you have a red, green, and blue characters, or characters that wear those colors, do that. I don't know if anyone pointed it out before, but yeah, it's just kind of odd they did that way.
I'm not entirely sure too. Like in the original one, they all wore the same clothes same hats. I think it's a good way to just differentiate like who's who. As for the show, yeah, I think it's easy to know their names towards the end. I think in the beginning, you get kind of lost because sometimes they sound like the same too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this is an incredible first episode. Like you said, like the cold opening is really good. Like I was even wondering, like, when are they going to do the opening? This is kind of weird. And I think because they were introducing a whole slew of characters, and unless you've watched the original series, this is like admirable in the sense of the point of view of like how easy it was to follow the relationship and how a little bit confused, not confusing in that sense of like the audience is confusing, but confusing of like how is their family tree look like?
Right. Oh, now? Yes, yes.
Like, I mean, we're not going to spoil anything in the show, but there is a reveal at the end of the episode that makes you wonder, like, are they going to go down this route where they're going to actually tell, like, a complete story? And I like that because it doesn't act like the audience are just a bunch of kids, but they act like they're kids who get things, that they know how to, retrieve a story and then know who the relationship of which from each character and the plots and plot points and everything. I was like, that's kind of cool. Like they're not really going to dumb down what the show is.
Mm-hmm.
The comedy feels modern, surprising. There's a lot of insightful and heartfelt moments, between all the characters and things that you wouldn't expect from, I would guess. I feel like modern day cartoons are more like this now where there are heartfelt moments. There are moments where characters are vulnerable and empathetic and all that, so that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I think all the voice actors are really great. David Tennant pulls it really well. All the characters from Huey, Dewey, Louie to Webby and everyone, like, it's really good. And then it makes me looking forward if they do revive the Darkwing Duck and have Launchpad. And I appreciate that there are running gags and there are modern gags in the sense of like, if you're a fan of like Comedy Bang Bang or Jude Apatow or, you know, Key and Peele, any of those modern comedians and comedic actors, you'll really love this episode. Go on.
Oh, no. How do you feel about the animation?
I like it. It does this really, they call it Benday Dots.
It's like what? What is that?
Yeah, there's like a certain style of comic book.
Oh, I did not know that. Like,
where they use dots, but like you don't see the dots in here. It's more like it's just that style where you use the color palette is like more solid.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's how I feel. Like there's no real, there's shadows, but everything felt like, back in the day, cartoons, you can tell which one is a moving animation, which one's a still frame. Yeah. This one, you can't tell. It's like everything just feels natural. Like everything blends in together. And I really like that
look. I think because it's called Extreme Digital, Disney Extreme Digital. So everything is more digital. It's more worked on computers than just the, classic animation where we're drawing different cells
yes
and whatnot. So but yeah, I highly recommend the show.
Who are you looking forward to come in the show, because there's still a whole cast of characters that they don't show yet.
Remember a lot. I just really hope like they do Darkwing Duck.
Do you remember Gyro though?
Yeah, okay. Gyro the robot.
No, that's mentioned. The Gyro the venter, the guy who vents McQuack's
thing. I remember.
So I'm wondering if he's gonna be there.
Go on.
And also they had like a, I don't remember him that well, but there was a Boy Scout duck. I forget his name, but he had like a little hat that had like a fox tail. What do you call those hats? Like the, when you kill a fox and wear his head? Or
it's what, like one of the characters from the Back to the Future wears.
Yes, that thing. That thing is, that type of hat. I remember him. I don't know if he's related. Like, I don't know if all the characters are related to one another in a weird way, but I just remember certain characters that I still feel like they need to like expand this universe. I can't believe I'm saying that, this DuckTale universe again.
It's just more like document. I have to like revisit what these characters were before.
Do you want more of a comedy Darkwing Duck or this dark tale of how this vigilante comes back, or more like a reboot?
It's like a. I like this. What they're going for the new DuckTales, and just make it like that, but mix with like the sensibilities of like a Batman animated series. Yeah,
Darkwing Begins.
But yeah, that's it for our impressions of the DuckTales. The DuckTales, Disney's DuckTales. But before we leave, John, where can they find you on the interweb?
You can find me on Twitter, posting about stuff, I guess, now in this day and age. But yeah, just on Twitter at AbayaArts. And yeah, I'm working. I always say this, but I'm trying to do something. Trying to do this one idea of a podcast. I don't know if I'll do it in time, but I'm looking forward to it just to see if it works. We have to say too, I don't know if we'll have an episode next week because we're on vacation, so I don't know.
We won't have an episode.
If anything happens,
we do.
What was that?
Unless we will record.
Yeah. Yes, if anything happens, I might record an episode with my wife. If anything, just so look that out. I don't know if we do it or not. Sorry, we didn't do it. We just got too busy. But yeah, I'm trying to do something right now.
You can find me on the Twitter and Instagram at Benjamin Abaya. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can find all our episodes on any of your podcast devices, specifically iTunes. You could rate us and leave a comment. You could email us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. We have a Twitter account, which is TFA Now, which means The Freaking Awesome Now. So TFA Now, you can add us, DM us, or anything. I think that's it for now, John. Is there anything else am I missing?
No, that's it. I think, yeah, just have a great week.
Have a great week. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I am John Abaya.
And this has been The Freaking Awesome Podcast. We'll be right back.